Shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Yishai Fleischer Show, broadcasting live from Judea to the world. You're a part of it wherever you are. And shalom, and welcome to my update about the war situation that's happening here in Israel. It's not a simple thing. I'm just going to wait a few more minutes for everybody to join up. But let's talk about this war. Let's talk about what's happening. And then also let's bring you in to give you a chance to talk about what's in your heart, what's really happening. I'd love to hear your comments. So please post your comments. I'll be able to see them and even put them on the screen. So Yishai Fleischer here, and I am indeed live in Judea. And I was very alive in Judea on Shabbat. It was a beautiful Shabbat of relaxation. And I had good friends over, my friend Alex Trim and his family. But then not only was it Shabbat, but it was also a lovely Rosh Hashanah, then we did Yom Kippur, and then we did Sukkot, and then finally the last day of it all, the big holiday of Simchat Torah. So what an awesome holiday it was. Friday night, we danced with the Torah, we drank a little bit, and we were full of joy because we had finished the cycle of the Torah. However, Saturday morning, we started hearing booms, and was not clear what those booms were. I thought to myself, maybe these booms don't mean much. Maybe it's some kind of work issue. I don't know, some kind of accident. There are quarries around here, or maybe it's a firework. But soon, when the siren went off, it became clear that we are not dealing with anything but an attack. That attack started with rockets here where I'm living. And then when I went down to the synagogue, to the Beit Knesset, I started seeing indeed that it's much more than just rockets, but rather a massive onslaught of both rockets and a break in through the Gaza border fence into Israel, taking hostages and killing. Right now, the death toll in Israel is at 1,000 approximately. There has not been so many Jews killed since World War II, since the Holocaust, in one day. And so it was a massive, massive shock to us that not only were Jews murdered, including some 250 approximately celebrants of an outdoor festival, but they were also taken hostage, and rockets started raining down upon Israel, and they're still raining down upon Israel. Just to give you a little sense about what happened, I have here a video that kind of shows you the overall story of what took place, an overview of the attack that Israel has faced and that we're dealing with right now. So here's the video of the attack.
This is a test of frequency instruments, bass, drums, distortion, artifacts.
Early in the morning, Hamas started with a big rocket attack on Israel. And from what seemed like a usual attack from Gaza, became every citizen's worst nightmare. At 7:35, terrorist units invaded the territories of Israel, driving cars and motorcycles. They started driving in cities in Israel, shooting and murdering every civilian they passed by. Breaking into civilian homes, taking hostages, and murdering families, including men, women, babies, and elder civilians. While they were taking hostages and killing civilians, some of their units drove to a party, started shooting everyone they saw. Parents are still looking for their missing children, not knowing what happened to them. And unfortunately, it gets worse. The terror units of Hamas controlled the cities for more than 12 hours, filming and distributing some of their horrible actions when they conquered some of the cities surrounding Gaza. They broke into civilian homes, and those that they couldn't break into were burned, forcing the civilians to get outside and be slaughtered by Hamas cruel terror units. And no, this is not a horror movie. This is the reality right now in Israel. The terror units of Hamas call themselves the Freedom Warriors. There are hundreds of videos showing them celebrating around citizens' dead bodies, including elder women and kids. If you support Hamas, you support terror.
So this is a video that gives you a sense of what transpired and the shock that Israelis have felt is a mixture of both depression and sadness and also rage that says it's time to fight. And that's really the emotions that we are balancing right now. On the one hand, funerals and shock and also dismay that somehow this wasn't stopped. And a failure of intelligence, etc. So there's that whole wing of questions and pain and trauma and tragedy. And then there is this other reality, which is it's time to fight. It's time to destroy the Hamas. It's time to retake Gaza. It's time to control our borders. It's time to make sure that people on our borders, like Hamas, but also like Hezbollah and other militant groups, don't have weapons that are trained at us in order to kill us. It is time to destroy that ability and ensure a safe Israel for the Jewish people and for minorities that want to live amongst us. And so that is the situation that we're dealing with. That is the emotional balance that we're dealing with. And in my years in Israel, there has never been anything like this. Yes, there were bus bombings in the Oslo years, and they were awful. You know, 30 people blown up at once. It was just incomprehensible. But this, the murder of 1,000 Jews, who knows, maybe more, the rockets attack, and then the unbelievable sadistic videos. And sadly, just before I started broadcasting here, just now, I saw a video that is impossible to digest, which is of an Israeli girl being burnt to death in Gaza. And it's absolutely, and I think I recognize her from one of the videos that she was taken hostage. And I think that a lot of people around the world right now are realizing what we're dealing with. And as I'm broadcasting, I hear Israeli jets flying over. I really hope that we take full and decisive action, not a punishment and not a lesson, but rather to end the rule of Hamas of Gaza, to push back on Hezbollah, and to push back on the real circus ringleader here, which is Iran. Ari Abramowitz is a friend of mine and a colleague, one of the founders of the Land of Israel Network and one of the founders of the Arugot Farm. He is standing guard at his farm right now here in Judea. Ari, let me see if I could bring you in. Ari, are you there?
Shalom, Yishai. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear. You heard my introduction, which was the balance of impossible emotions. And I see that you're dressed in your fatigues because you're not busy mourning, but you're busy protecting Israel from a larger onslaught. Tell me about how you're feeling, how you see the situation.
I don't even know where to start. I heard some of what your introduction was. It was a little bit of a battle to find anywhere on the farm that has sufficient internet to be able to do this. So I'm thankful that I found one. You were talking about the emotions and the mix of emotions. And I think you nailed it, you know, between grief and depression and helplessness and rage, absolute rage. I feel very fortunate that I feel like I've had divine assistance even in being able to maintain happiness and optimism and exude humor and goodness when my wife is there and my children are around and I'm around other people and I'm able to be a source of confidence and strength and cool-headedness. But then I go to the grocery store and I burst out weeping in the aisle and people are looking at me like, yeah, it's okay. I got it. I've been there. I was there 10 minutes ago. The cashier was crying. You know, it's a devastating time. It's a scary time. But at the same time, I really think that we need to remember that this is going to end well. This is going to end well. The prophets of Israel, think about it. We didn't go through thousands of years of exile. And then the ingathering of the exiles, forget the idea that a people would last and survive at all for thousands of years in the exile and not just assimilate and disappear. But not only would they survive, but they would thrive, they would exist, and then they would return to their homeland that they were exiled from thousands of years before. As the prophet said, the ancient dead language would be revived. All of the unbelievable, unfathomable, impossible miracles that the Torah and the prophets have told us have happened, and now all of a sudden this is over. No, Hashem is with us. Hashem's finger is upon this. And this is the time for us to fortify our strength and our faith. And we could either be afraid, we could either right now have fear or desire. Fear or desire, those are our two choices that I think that we have. And for me, I'm doing my best really to choose desire. And right now, honestly, that desire is that I want blood. I want there to be serious blood in the streets. Hamas just said that for every ground invasion or every missile that Israel shoots at them, they're going to execute one of our, that's my idea. That was my idea. That's what we need to do to them. That we need to castrate them on video and broadcast that to their people. This is what are you going to do to your 70 virgins? Okay, you don't even have it anymore. And broadcast it and show put the fear of God in them. Let them know that we can play their own game. Yes, we're a loving people and a moral people, but it is immoral to be kind and compassionate. I saw them handing out sandwiches to the terrorists that were just murdering babies. Handing out sandwiches. They should be slitting their throats. What is going on? This is not kindness and compassion. This is and I have to admit, Yisha, you said something that I really disagree with. The world is going to see evil and they're going to know. I don't think that's what it is. I think subconsciously, when the world sees Hamas busting through and murdering people, they're so filled with fear and crippled that they want to be on their side. You know this guy, Andrew Tate? He converted to Islam. Why did he choose Islam? He said, because they fear their God and they're badasses. Okay, and I think that countries don't have friends, they have interests. And it's their interest to be friends with people that have strength and power and courage and are willing to use it. And we need to show that while our natural predisposition is kindness and love and compassion, when we see evil, we are going to eradicate it in let there be no confusion about that.
You know, Ari, I don't know if the audience that I'm broadcasting to right now understands the level of sadism that has been unleashed on the Jewish people. We in Israel have been victims of videos, not just what happens, the torture that has happened, but also videos that show what has happened. And these videos, as you point out, are meant to scare us, meant to subdue us. And for some people, it's a power trip. They're excited to see them. But it is important right now to sometimes look at these videos and understand what the level of Jew hate and Israel hate is. And the reason is very important because the claim, the counterclaim that is being put out there by the Palestinian propaganda machine is that this is a freedom fighting movement, that this attack was a result of Israel's occupation of Gaza and occupation of the so-called West Bank, and that therefore this is a liberation, freedom of liberation movement. But when you look carefully at these videos, you see that the sadism there and the jihadism there is so overt. And I have a lot of videos here, mostly positive and strong, but I have to show one video so people understand what I'm talking about and understand where the rage that you are describing comes from. And so this is a 14-second video. Viewer discretion is strongly advised because this is incredibly hard to watch. And there's even worse, much worse. But I'll play this one. And this is about a soldier that was captured and killed by Hamas terrorists, and not just terrorists, by the civilian population. Here's the video. And that video, you see that soldiers pulled out of a car. He's already dead. And they're just mutilating him and yelling in a blood frenzy, in a blood-curdling frenzy. And that's what we're dealing with. There are way worse videos of wanton murder.
Yeah, that is, you said that's PG. That video is PG compared to the other videos that we're seeing and what they're doing to the babies. They go into homes and murder babies, wipe out entire families. That's the thing. I think we need to stop the debate. We need to stop. It is so clearly in bad faith. People are like, it's a freedom fighting movement. Okay, this is not a discussion we're having anymore. We're doing what we need to do. Do you see Putin engaging in a debate? Why are we constantly responding and refuting these ridiculous, evil, sick? These people have cast their lot with who they stand with, and they want to stand with these murderous, horrific, genocidal, pure, true, manifested evil in the world. That's their lot. And they're going to have to account before the creator of the world about that. But that doesn't mean that we need to sit here and refute that and disagree with that and deal with that. We need to fight a war and we need to win. That's what we're facing. Yeah.
Ari Abramowitz, I 100% agree with you. It happens to be that this broadcast is in order to explain so that people watching out there and they're watching some of the Palestinian spokesmen. My friend Jack called me and said, listen, Palestinian spokesmen out there are telling people that this is because of the occupation and this is what happens. And they are PGing this whole, the videos, and they're making it out to be a liberation movement. And that's why I'm doing this broadcast, in order to make it clear to people what's really going on and what we're feeling. But you're absolutely right that the debate of our action has to be not with world approval, but to do what is right now to defend our peoplehood. Before I let you go, Ari, I just do want to show one video.
And then there's just one thing I want to say, and then you can let me go. No, okay, so... You know, I haven't been called up to reserve duty. We're called up to a different... It's like the army is coming here directly and giving us orders directly. The nearby settlement has gone from something like 58, 60 men to like 11. So it's just women and children, really like undefended. Our mountaintop is filled with women and children. So it's really me, Jeremy, and... David Brenner and his sons that don't even have weapons, that right now are walking around and patrolling here. That's what we're, this is like an apocalyptic scenario that we're facing. So I feel a little guilty, you know, being the first on your broadcast and then just sort of going all in. But I just, you know, this is the reality of what we're facing. And so we don't have the luxury of doing the Hasbara anymore. I don't feel like Hasbara is my battle right now. I feel like my battle right now is battle. That's my battle.
And here is General Zinni. You can't hear too well what he's talking about, but here's one of our generals after a fight with terrorists, and the bodies that you're going to see are all dead Palestinian jihadist terrorists. Let's see.
סדק משמעותי שסוכה לפני הגעה לציר של האזרחים.
So that video is about one of our generals taking out a whole team of terrorists, and I didn't want it to leave it with basically the propaganda that Israel is being destroyed. No, Israel is going to fight back, like you're saying, and going to destroy its enemies. And that's the other videos that you're going to see, which is the enemies of Israel destroyed before us.
Can I say one last thing, Yishai? This is the one last measure that I want to say. If people that know the story of the Exodus from Egypt, the Pharaoh and the Egyptians were systematically disabused of all of their idols, from the Nile being their god to the god of all of the plagues were their gods, and they were disabused and revealed that those weren't gods. The nation of Israel, we are being disabused of our idols. And a lot of times we have the IDF, the impenetrable force around us, the gates around us, the Israeli government, all of the world will be with us, America will be with us, and one by one these idols are going to be disabused until we have no choice but to look up to heaven and say, Hashem, you're all we have, you're all we've ever had, you are he who has brought us out of the depths of darkness, you're the only hope we have, please help us. And he will. And he will. He has 100% batting average, and that is where I'm putting my faith.
Amen, Ari. And I think also you touched about, you finished off with faith, but you also talked in there, just in that last statement, about hubris. And we've been disabused of our hubris a little bit here. We cannot just count on defenses and different things. First thing is, be a Middle Easterner. Fight like a Middle Easterner. Don't fight like a Westerner. This is a Middle East war with Middle East fighters. So even before God, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, like, put your eyes in your head and see who you're dealing with. Open your eyes. Stop giving them a liberal sanction and realize that you have to destroy this evil, just like we had to destroy the Nazis. That's just how, you know, that's, we're dealing with Einsatz group in here. We're dealing with the same kind of killing squads and even more demented and blood curdling. The other thing is, I agree with you. We have to get back away from a love of technology and state and other things and come back to Jewish identity and realize that this is a Jewish state. And those who are against us, they want to destroy Jewish state. By the way, last video for you, I want to show you, Ari, is a very powerful video, which is Hamas, how they celebrate, not just with shooting guns in the air and with mutilating bodies, but they have another power. Watch this, Ari.
هذا المنظر طلعت رأي بني زحين شباب الجيب وجابين طلع جند الإسرائيلي هم دخل المنظر سجدة الشكر إن شاء الله على هذا النصر اللهم أتم نصرك وعزنا لشعبنا وأمتنا الله أكبر
So there's Hamas praising Allah, and we hear a lot of Allahu Akbar when Jews are tortured, when babies are murdered, when women are burnt, and when the leaders of Hamas are watching them. What do you feel when you see this praise of Allah, ostensibly God, at the effort to destroy Israel, at the wanton murder of Israeli citizens?
When I see that video, I feel like when a man beats a dog with a stick, the dog bites at the stick. We can't look at Hamas and just bite at the stick. We have to understand that the enemy that is being unleashed against us, we need to look at them very carefully and study them very carefully. And maybe there's something that we can learn from them. And one of the things that we can learn from them is a very public, truthful display of the fear of God and unabashed display of the fear of God to the nations of the world, because we're not worshiping a bloodthirsty moon god through the sick, sadistic, pedophilic prophet Muhammad. That's not what we're worshiping. You're worshiping the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, the God of truth. And so if we worship him in public, unabashedly, and our government and our leaders do also, and we bless the world, we need to be teaching the world and blessing the world, then that will bring times of light and redemption. And that's part of what we need to learn from them. I mean, ultimately, what we really are praying for is not to murder, not to kill them. We want their eyes to open and realize the horrific things they're doing to their brother, Isaac, the son of Abraham, and we're brothers, and we're both created in the image of God, and they will fall to the ground and weep their eyes out for the horror that they've done, and that day will come. But we need to bring that day soon, and until that day comes, we need to protect ourselves and defend ourselves and want them. We need to want this war. You know, not to be like, hopefully we'll return home in peace. I always hated it when commanders in the army do that. Bezrat Hashem, shmur al atzmechem, tachzor b'shalom. I don't want to tachzor b'shalom. I don't want to leave that battlefield. I want to stay there, and I want to stay there until every last one of them has their throats slit and they're dead. Because if I don't do that, there's going to be more dead Jewish babies. Okay, so we need to want this war, and we need to want to be there. Because if they want to be there, and we don't want to be there, it's not a good look for us. It's not going to bode well for us. So I'm sorry if I've been too crazy and militant, but you're catching me in a militant mood. This is just like, look how I'm, this is how I'm walking around all day, you know?
Ari Abramowitz, thank you very much. Godspeed out there at the our goat farm.
Yishai, thank you for what you're doing. This is so important that you're broadcasting like this. Kola kavod, you can always rely on you for that.
I'll be out with you at the Ari goat farm with my M16 tomorrow. God bless you. Ari,
thank you, brother. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Ari Abramowitz from the Ari goat farm and the Land of Israel Network. The situation in Israel is... It's personal here in Israel, but it's also being seen around the world. We have American Jews that are super connected to this story. And we have Jews around the world, lovers of Israel, non-Jews around the world. And we have even the lighting up of the Eiffel Tower and in Ukraine and in Germany, all over the world, and the Empire State Building. People are connecting to Israel and they want to see Israel strong. Right now, here on this live stream, we have a lot of people that want to say hello. We have Andrew Martin, who says, with love from a friend in the UK. Marilyn Poe sends greetings. Terry says, sending love and prayers to Israel and to all her people. Muzaffar Hussein sends me five little pigs. I'm not sure what he means by that. I'm not sure who the pig here is. Is it the people who are murdering children, who are burning women, who are shooting whole families? I guess maybe that's what he's referring to. Let me keep going here. Let me keep going here with Willie Bauman. We love and support you and the Jewish people. I wish it was more that we could, but we are definitely praying for you. Israel will prevail. The Komi Ori Farm says, Chazak, Chazak, Venit Chazek. Osim Muga says, may peace be with you, Jerusalem. Moshe Dayan, whoever that is, I don't think it's the real Moshe Dan, says, shalom from Florida. Great to see you, brother. And we have more and more. But here's Nadia, who says, that's why Putin is cool. He's doing what he needs to do. Ariella says, shalom, shalom. And who else do we have? A lot of people saying shalom. And who else is saying interesting things for us? All kinds of folks are coming from around the world, including praying for Israel from Spring Hill, Kansas. All right. But this guy, Rabadan Axmed, says Jews are unclean. I love these comments. Jews are unclean. As in, you can exterminate them because they're unclean. Amazing. Amazing. And so Rabadan, if he's real or not, This is the kind of statement that he's making in order to let us know who we're dealing with, people who basically think of Jews as vermin. And by the way, they obviously were going to think other people are as well. So there you go. That's the kind of Umar Farouk says something unpleasant about Israel. Umar. And Fahmi says, for 75 years, Israel's been killing Palestinians. I love these guys. Right? The Arab-Israeli war in which they tried to annihilate Israel over and over again. And now this guy, Fahmi, whoever he is, lining up with Iran and these jihadis who are murdering children. And I want you to know, Fahmi, that there are millions of Arabs and Muslims who think that your words are disgusting. Thank God I know about them. Okay. About time we change the situation in the South. Everything happens for a reason. Baruch Hashem, the Gaza Strip will be the Israel Strip soon. And the statement there is, of course, about the Gaza evacuation. You know, Jews used to live in Gaza till not so long ago, till 2005. And Malka Fleischer and I were there when Israel evacuated Gaza from Jews, evicted the Jews out of Gaza in order to bring peace. And we told them, don't do it. You're just going to bring a jihad state. And so in 2023, it came to full fruition. This is what you created when you appeased the enemies, when you walked out of the homeland and gave it to the jihad. Malka Fleischer is actually here on stage in studio with me. Malka Fleischer, shalom and welcome. Thank you so much for joining me. You are muted, Malka, so let's unmute you. Say that again, please.
Hi.
Howdy.
Hello, howdy. Hey, everybody.
Malka, we're at a war. There are 1,000 Jews murdered. There's a video of a Jewish woman being burnt alive. Thousands and thousands of Israelis have been called up for military duty, including my brother Josh and many other people that I know. Tell me about the situation from your perspective as a mother. Here in Israel, as a Jewish woman, a proud Jewish woman in the land of Israel. Tell me how you see the situation.
I mean, you know, how do you see the situation? You, you like, on the one hand, have the shock and the dismay and the horror of the reality and the, you know, the numbers are just not real, right? They're just like not fathomable. And so you're just like behelem, as we say in Hebrew, like you're just like in shock from everything. At the same time, you got to keep moving, right? You got kids at home. All the schools are shut down. You got to like make the food. That's one of the things that I've actually had a weirdly hard time with, is that my stomach is so knotted up and disgusted inside that I don't want to eat. And so then I don't make food. So I've had to like, it's taken me 2 days to overcome that feeling of like disgust from food enough to make food. So I hope that you enjoyed dinner tonight. Spaghetti bolognese. And that's it. You know, you got kids, you're trying to be, you know, emotionally available and sensitive to the needs of the children, while at the same time, not, it's sort of like a tricky little balancing act, because on the one hand, you really like, you know, how my kids feel about the situation is like how we all feel when we're not stuffing it down, right? When we're not like squeezing it into a little box so that we can all operate, you know, their feelings are very legitimate feelings, and they're absolutely their
feelings. Malka, speaking of children's feelings, yeah. Here's a comment by Ariella Rachel, who says, I'm having a hard time existing, knowing such evil truly exists right here, right now.
Yeah.
What do you have to say to Ariella?
Yeah, man, I get you. Like, I get it. It's really, really sick. And what's like one of the blessings and the curses of the Jewish people is that there are some things that just like don't exist within us, and therefore we can't like fathom them. You know what I mean? So like this level of evil, like, you know how they say like it takes one to know one, you know, this is one of those scenarios. It's like the evil is like so humongous, and for 99.99999% of Jews, like we can't relate to it. It's like, it's not digestible. It can't be understood because it is so outside of our space of life, so outside of the kind of people that we are. And so we just can't even like wrap our brain around it. So that's what I got to say, dude. Totally, Ariella, Rachel, I'm feeling you. Like, and I think that we're all feeling you. You know, we gotta be compassionate with each other. And what I wanted to say is like with the kids, and I'll say also with Ariella, Rachel, is like, you have to balance. Because on the one hand, you have like your feelings, and your feelings are obviously really legitimate. But at the same time, we can't get into this like massive sea of mourning that kind of wants to come about. It like wants to be this like wave of sorrow, but you can't do that. That's not good for you. And that's not good for your families, and it's not good for the situation, because we do not have that luxury. We do not have the luxury of like being awash in our like tragic feelings. We have to get it together, and we have to operate, and we have to fight. And there's ways to fight. Some people are fighting with you know, boots in the mud. And some people are fighting by, like, yes, cooking the food, you know, in their house. And yes, like, operating. And yes, doing the laundry. And yes, like, calling a friend and checking on them. And yes,
Mark, I want to play you a video of, I want to play you two videos. But the first one is a hard one, which is of,
do we have to watch a hard video?
We do. We really do. We have to look at it straight in the eye. And I want to get your take on how you would feel, how people feel when they see this, because this is what has happened to Israelis. Those are Israelis being taken hostage by Hamas terror gangs. Einsatzgruppen. Some of those people that you see already been executed. And so, I mean, that's what Ariel is talking about. It's pure evil that has struck our nation. It's very hard to wrap our minds around that. Yet we are victims of this kind of terror all the time.
Right. This is just a super successful version of the micro level. Like the other stuff looks micro compared to this, mm-hmm. but it's still like real terrorism right. that we deal with all the time. In fact, just a few minutes ago, I don't know when people will watch this, but just a few minutes ago, a woman was shot in Samaria in a terror attack. And that's like not even news anymore, right? That's like, that doesn't even make the news. Nobody knows about it because like the scope of this thing is so huge. So like one little lady and one little yeshuv is like not that exciting. Mm-hmm. We've been dealing with this, you know, people like you and me, Cheyenne, people all over Judea and Samaria have been warning the country about this for a very long time. You know, I don't think, I can't say that I foresaw this, right? Like, I wouldn't say that I'm some great prophet who like knew that a border was going to be breached and all this stuff. This, I don't think anyone foresaw this, including our government. But
well, clearly, you know, they did
not. We were warning people for a long time that right. this thing is going to reach ahead, that the hubris and the pride of the terror act, the terror regime, or whatever you want to call it, the anti-Jew establishment is like growing and growing, and they're getting more and more excited and more bloodlusting as they continue to kill us without any like major reprisal. So it like overflowed, and this is the overflow.
Wanagade says, it pains me to see the videos of the children and women kidnapped by those barbaric beasts. Horrific images. Then you have Palestinian protesters celebrating in the cities here in America, which is the other side of this. I mean, the real key here is, and I think that I talked about it with Ari, the veneer of nice guyness, of liberation movement has to fall. I've said this for a long time. We're dealing with jihad here. We're dealing with jihad. And we've seen it over and over again, but people want to deny that. And now I think that we're seeing it clearly enough. Malka, there's another video that I wanted you to see. This one's very special. You've written about this. And this is about a soldier who's witnessing on his cell phone a very special ceremony. That ceremony is the circumcision ceremony of his son, which he wasn't allowed to be in. He wasn't present in because he was called up to reserve duty. And here he is taking part of his own son's ceremony, although he's not at his family home.
Amen.
Amen.
ברוך אתה, אדוני אלוהינו, כל העם אשר קדושון במצוותיו וציוונו לכנסו בביתו של אברהם אבינו.
אמן.
ברוך אתה, אדוני אלוהינו, כל העם שהחיינו וקיימנו והגיענו לזמן הזה.
אמן.
שום שנכנס לברית, כן, ניכנס לתורה, לכפה ולמעשים טובים.
אמן.
שמואל לב, בן דוד.
That's the happy father naming his son at the circumcision ceremony. And later on, there's a phrase that he says, which is from the prophets, a phrase that says, I told you that you should live in your blood. And that is the lot of the Jewish people, is to also face this kind of effort for annihilation. We have faced it for thousands of years. We have faced these kind of pogroms, this kind of evil. I mean, it's all the way back in the book of Daniel. They didn't like Daniel. They threw him into a fiery pit or a lion den. And then he survives it. The Jewish people continue to survive. And so, you know, within the span of a few minutes, I just showed you, Malka, a video of Jews being taken away to captivity, tortured and kidnapped and abducted. And then at the same time, a Jewish soldier witnessing the birth and circumcision of his son, of the next generation. What do you think? You wrote about this. You wrote about this in Aish just now, right? About this man and this soldier and this image.
Right. I just published an article at Aish.com in which I used this video as a launching point to talk about like the incredible Jewish people and the resilience of the Jewish people. Like these are almost, it's almost like these are two separate things. Like the issue of the shvuim, the hostages, is so, it's the level of this problem is humongous. It's almost impossible to talk about how bad the situation is vis-a-vis them. We're all waiting to see, and we're praying so hard that we'll be able to save them and bring them out unharmed from Gaza in victory and in strength and in health and in happiness. And those people, they must be suffering so terribly. And then you have on the other side, you have this soldier, right, who is not comparable. I would not compare him really to the hostages, but I would only say that he gave a sacrifice to the state of Israel. He gave a sacrifice to the Jewish people, missing this very momentous occasion with his family. And yet he managed to be there. And actually, I mean, it's incredibly moving, right? And it's so beautiful and it's so emblematic of the Jewish people. But my favorite character in that video is actually not the father. My favorite character, and God bless him, he's wonderful. I'm not ranking them, but I'm just saying my favorite character in that video is actually the friend in the back. There's a soldier in the back who's videotaping him and just like encouraging him all the way. He's like, wow, Shmuel Lev, that's such a nice name. And they're like clapping for him and singing for him, right? And they like took their couple minutes there and like encouraged their friend and like made a micro celebration for him, even there with war paint on his face. And I just love that, man. I just love the Jewish people. They are so great. And, you know, it's so crazy that we went from like building our Sukkot and inviting guests now to like being in bomb shelters and like worrying about a two-front war. But at the same time, we also did another thing, which is we went from like political infighting and talking about government and talking about like who's low besetter, who's like not good and not okay, who's being a jerk in Israeli society and who's screwing up Israeli society. And we went from that to like such acts of giving and loving and sacrifice and friendship and brotherhood. The like all day long, I'm fielding WhatsApps from different people who want to make different connections. This one needs a donation of this thing, and this one wants to know how to help over here, and this one, you know, just wants to give a word of encouragement somewhere, and this person from America is ready to get on a plane with suitcases, bring supplies and get back on the plane and go back just so that he can like help out, just for, he's really ready to spend all that money just so he can like deliver something if we need it emergency style. People who want to do so many great things, people who want to, you know, drive soldiers, people who want to donate to soldiers, people who want to support bereaved families, families where the father or the brother are serving their country, people who want to cook food, people who want to help with funerals, people who want to volunteer as doctors on the field, off the field, switching people out, people who, children who made camps. They saw these little like preteens who put out an ad in their local town WhatsApp that they're running a little camp for kids since kids are out of school. It costs 10 shekels an hour. But if your father or your brother is serving the country, then it's free. They'll watch your children for free. This is absolutely the spirit that's happening throughout the country here in Israel. And it's unfortunate that it takes things like this in order to bring it out, but it's so beautiful that it does come out. And I really pray that we can carry this spirit forward after Be'ezrat Hashem, we have a victory. And, you know, no matter what, the losses that we faced are losses. And that is something that we'll have to deal with in our hearts, minds, policies, voting in the future. But for now, what we're hoping for is strong reprisals, a real sense of security, and a fundamental shift in the paradigm around here.
Malka, you're absolutely right. A fundamental shift is happening. And at the same time, there is a tremendous outpour of help. And a lot of people have been turning to me and asking how they could help. So I just have a few different ways that I recommend. The folks in Hebron, where I work, need bulletproof vests with ceramic shield, communication radios, drones, cameras, and flashlights and other things like that, defensive stuff. And that's easy to do through HebronFund.org, HebronFund.org. You go there, you could support right now the folks that are fighting to keep that city safe. Hebron is, of course, where the Tomb of the Forefathers and Mothers is. My friends, Ben Goldstein at UnityWarriors.com, are helping provide gear for civilian defense groups, defensive stuff, including flashlights, communications, and other things like that. That makes the hilltops and other places safe. UnityWarriors.com. And I myself was a beneficiary of a great flashlight from UnityWarriors.com. I also am working on helping build while others destroy, rebuilding beautiful, renovating beautiful sites that have to do with Jewish heritage here in the land of Israel, helping beautify the hilltops here in Judea and Samaria, and strengthening broadcasting, of course, and strengthening our consciousness throughout the world. So that's YishaiFleischer.com, or another way to do it is buymeacoffee.com/Yishai. So that's one website, buymeacoffee.com/Yishai. Another one is HebronFund.org, UnityWarriors.com, and YishaiFleischer.com. These are ways.
Right. These are action-based organizations. They're not right. Like, there's a lot of big organizations that do beautiful things. We do not need to disparage at all. But I would say that there are some small organizations that really get it done. And they don't have all the massive overhead and the, you know, big organizational structure, big buildings and things like that. So your money really goes where it's supposed to.
Malka, there's a lot of comments coming in right now. For example, we already read this one.
Yeah, that one we read.
Right, we read this one. let's get down here. There's of course some good old hate ones. We'll get there in a second. Oh, so here's one from Ariella Rachel. She says, I will say to you again, except all of us Christians, ex-Christians who have given up the idolatry that is Christendom, the other half of the holy nation Israel. Okay, that is good stuff, but it's not what we're dealing with right now. Oh, here's what I was looking for. This is bloodlust spiritual evil. It is connected to Pharaoh and also the Nazi religious ideology. As a Christian, I am in solidarity with Israel. We are covenant partners in ethical monotheism. Okay. This as opposed to Karim Metwali, who writes dead to all Zionists. I think he's not very good with plurals in
We're
English.
We're quaking in our boots up in here.
Yeah, Karim mentally or whatever is Metwali. He writes, he says dead to all Zionists. And then Karim adds, the problem is the Zionists. And then Fahmi Malwasa says we are dealing with thieves, and there's all this stuff, right? On the other hand, Hugh says exactly, jihad is pure evil. Actually, Right. Let's see what else. Let's see. There's a lot of quote. There's a lot of folks here, Malka. They're really, just so you know, Malka, we have almost 600 viewers right now with us, and people are responding.
That's great. For example, I just want to say that I know as you're looking here for quotes to put in, I just want to really thank so many people who have reached out through all the platforms possible to check on us and to see how we're doing and to offer their help. Isha, I think, you know, you gave three links and those are very good. But I'm sure that for some people it doesn't hit the button. You know what I mean? It doesn't hit the button because people want so much to be a part of being there for the Jewish people here in Israel and saving people in this situation. And they're asking like what to do. It's a hard question to answer. You know, you tried to answer the question with your three links, and those are very good, and people should support those things. Absolutely, 100%. But I just want to say that, like, maybe there's not such a great, you know, there's not like a one perfect answer that we can give at this time. And that's the thing we're dealing with, right? It's like, how do we save this situation? And a lot of people are just don't really know right now. You know, obviously, we want your prayers. Various kinds of financial support are very useful. Volunteering for all kinds of things are useful. Being a part of the fight for Israel on social media is useful. Getting out in public and making sure that everyone understands the reality and the truth of Israel is very useful. But we're all feeling the pain of not exactly knowing what to do.
So B.R. Atem Jok writes, from South Sudan, I pray to God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to protect and give power to children of Israel to protect their land. Amen. Yeah, I love that. I love to see people from all over the world. And then my friend Steve Brown says, Dr. Steve Brown takes care of business. He says, do you think this time we will finally finish the job? I will be surprised. Well, Steve, I agree with you that there's a problem. Excuse me. Oh, had a little chair failure there. But you're right. You're right, Steve. There's a problem in the way that Israel is dealing with these issues. We seem to be not finishing the job every time. Maybe it's because of hubris that we think that we can contain other people so easily, or maybe it's because we have still a lot of ghetto in our behavior patterns, and that we are basically afraid to be Middle Eastern like and to deal with it the way you're supposed to deal with it here. And we deal with it in a small state, small people, just give me peace. That's all I'm looking for type of attitude, instead of realizing that you got to go big and go home. And so I agree with you 100%, Steve, that there's definitely a problem in the Jewish people. We will talk more about that with Alex Treyman in just a few minutes. And Malka Jacob says, from Kenya, I pray to God to protect the people of Israel.
Thank you.
And so there are people all over the place. Here, for example, David says, we are witnessing the consequences for losing the war on terrorism. I just want to say
one little thing about that, and I don't want to be overly negative, but we have to want to win the war on terrorism.
Right.
That's the thing, and it sounds nasty to say it that way, but sometimes it feels here in Israeli society, and maybe some of you can sort of relate to what I'm saying, that we're not exactly trying to like win, as in like having a final victory, like this war is now closed. It seems like we're kind of content to like mini perpetuate this situation. And that is kind of what I'm talking about when I talk about like a paradigm shift, is that we need to appreciate more and like really come to grips with the fact that people are not okay with a like forever terror situation. We're not okay with it.
I just want you to know that right now a piece of news has come out that Bono, the famous politically active lead singer of U2, dedicated a show. He changed the words in the very famous song Pride to refer to the festival goers, 200 Israeli beautiful kids, quote unquote, slain at the Israeli desert rave.
Right. Isn't that so like, I want to be very gentle here, but I think something shocking happened in the absolutely horrific, disgusting, despicable attack on these rave goers. I think what it is that people don't, it's a theory, but that people don't really view Israelis as like normal human beings. They see us all kind of like this, right? Like scarfy, religious. And that in a weird way is like, it's kind of reasonable for them that you like attack those people. It's like not as shocking, not as bad, not as weird. And here you had like kids that just could be from anywhere in the world. They're like, they're normal. They were all beautiful. I don't know if you saw these kids. I'm like, where did they come from? They're all so gorgeous. Like every one of them is just like a specimen of humanity. So beautiful. And to think that these like most normal kids who obviously are not part of any kind of like ideological friction here, not part of any warfare here, that they would be attacked in this way, like really blew people back. And I think that they realized that the fight against Israel is not exactly about ideology versus ideology. It's more about rabid hatred of a group of people against the Jews.
Malka, let's see some videos that I have here. I think first thing, just to refresh for all the people who've joined afterwards, let me refresh. Just 1 second, turn off some banners here. Oh, not that one. I didn't mean to throw that one off, and I want to put that one back. There you go. I want to show a video, just really what the story of this war is really about. So here's the overview of what we're dealing with.
This is a test of frequency instruments, bass, drums, distortion, artifacts.
Hamas started with a big rocket attack on Israel, and from what seemed like a usual attack from Gaza, became every citizen's worst nightmare. At 7:35, terrorist units invaded the territories of Israel, driving cars and motorcycles. They started driving in cities in Israel, shooting and murdering every civilian they passed by, breaking into civilian homes, taking hostages, and murdering families, including men, women, babies, and elder civilians. While they were taking hostages and killing civilians, some of their units drove to a party, started shooting everyone they saw. Parents are still looking for their missing children, not knowing what happened to them. And unfortunately, it gets worse. The terror units of Hamas controlled the cities for more than 12 hours, filming and distributing some of their horrible actions when they conquered some of the cities surrounding Gaza. They broke into civilian homes, and those that they couldn't break into were burned, forcing the civilians to get outside and be slaughtered by Hamas cruel terror units. And no, this is not a horror movie. This is the reality right now in Israel. The terror units of Hamas call themselves the Freedom Warriors. There are hundreds of videos showing them celebrating around citizens' dead bodies, including elder women and kids. If you support Hamas, you support terror.
Okay, so Malka, there you go. We are dealing with a very harsh reality of haters coming and killing Jews. The world is noticing, not that we desperately need world's approval, but it is true. And Malka, I did want to also play one more video for you, which I think is very befitting of something that...
These videos are harsh, Yishai. I don't know. I want to say officially out there that people should not feel obligated to watch every video that comes into their WhatsApps. It's so horrible.
Azari Abramowitz said, these videos that I'm showing are absolutely PG rated compared to what's being done here. And if Malka...
That may be, but not everyone Malka, needs it.
Malka, if people will make the mistake to fall for the narrative that this is a part of a war of liberation, then we would have failed. We have to make it clear in this moment what we're dealing with, which is sadistic, Einsatzgruppen, Nazi-like jihadism that is sadistic and blood, looking for blood of Jews, and not in any way liberating something for rights. And it's yes. important to show that. But, Malka, that was not the video I was going to show you in the first place. I'm going to show you this. Of Israeli soldiers gathered en masse in order to prepare for battle, and they are singing the Hatikva prayer and are spiritually and physically getting ready for battle. But the sweetness of these soldiers and the honest and internal prayer of Hatikva that there is hope, it stands as such a kind of sense of light versus darkness. You know, it's like you see these soldiers getting ready to fight with light, as opposed to the darkness that we saw with the jihadist bloodletting that we saw in the country. And you see here what one Agede says, which is you must show what is happening because the narrative gets twisted and downplayed. It's very true, Malka, and that's really a big reason why I'm broadcasting today, which is my friend Jake told me, you don't understand, Yishai. The narrative is being twisted out there. Yes, a lot of people get it, but not everybody. And the other side is out there weaving a different tale altogether. They're trying to tell everybody that this is just resistance. Here's a guy that just wrote to me exactly this word, Iraqi resistance. I don't know what he means by that, but the bottom line is that's the narrative that he's going to hear. This guy, this nutty dude keeps writing to me some crazy stuff. He writes, Israel is worse than darkness. They are evil itself. So there you go. These people want to turn everything upside down. And that's why we have to show the truth of what the evil that they have done is. And the other side is, which is the light of Israel. But this light is going to have to wash out the darkness of Hamas, of Hezbollah, and the other enemies of Israel. Malka Fleischer, parting words, please.
I just want to say that we're praying for you. You're praying for us, and that's the best possible scenario in this world. And I really pray, you know, here we are in like the first days of the year. We just had Rosh Hashanah. We just had Yom Kippur. We just got judged, and now we got hit so heavily. But I want to say, it can all turn around. The whole thing can turn around and become a source of incredible light. The people of Israel are just unstoppable. And we're hurting right now. We got slammed, but we are by far not stopped. We will never be stopped. This country is full of beautiful people who are ready to do everything in order to defend our beautiful land and our beautiful nation. And we'll do what we have to do, and we're going to prevail.
All right, Malka, thank you very much. Allison Schoolmeister says, Israel is Adonai's chosen people. It's God's chosen people. Malka Fleischer, thank you so much for being with us today and continue to be strong throughout this conflict. We need the Jewish women's strength out there right now. We need to keep that kind of the man rage on the one hand. We have to rage against evil, but we also have to keep that light going and keep that – well, the Jewish women pride of raising our families and keeping that going even in the face of these adversities. Malka Fleischer, thank you so much. All right, folks. There's a lot of people writing to me right now, including Street Maxer, who writes, is Bibi incompetent? And there are other people who are asking questions about, like, okay, like, but what happened here? But what actually transpired here? And people do, there's another side to this whole question mark, which is not just, you know, the bad guys, but also how did Israel allow this? And that's part of the bigger questions that's happening on the, you know, not just the conflict that Israel has versus the enemy, but Israel within itself. What is the modus operandi of our security forces? What is the mood here in Israel? Is it more towards progressivism or is it more towards conservatism? Who around the world is with us? What is the general global atmosphere towards reaction towards this conflict? My good friend Alex Trayman is also the Jerusalem Bureau Chief for JNS, Jewish News Service, .org, JNS.org. And he joins me right now from Jerusalem. Alex Trayman, welcome to the show.
Having me.
Thank you very much, Alex. And I know that you've been, and I'm very happy that you've been on media, international media, discussing the situation. So important, because as I mentioned before, maybe you heard that my friend Jack is telling me the Palestinian narrative is out there telling them that this is a war of liberation. And that Israel is, you know, deserves one way or another this attack. A lot of people aren't buying it. The Eiffel Tower and Manhattan skyline, the Empire State Building, is lit up in the flag of Israel. Bono just made a pro Israel statement. I mean, you know, a guy that you wouldn't really expect. So there's a lot of that, but there's the other narrative. So I really appreciate the fact that you're out there. Tell me about the situation as you're seeing it. You know, past the fact that we have 1,000 dead, maybe 150 Israeli hostages in the hands of Hamas, 2,000 people injured, and a war that seems like it could rage further, even a northern front opening. Give me a sense of what's going on out there, Alex.
Oh, absolutely. You've packed a lot into that assessment. Massive intelligence and security failure led to this horrific attack over Simchat Torah holiday. You had one of the most secured and surveilled borders in the entire world, which was breached numerous times using the lowest tech possible to just get through tractors and paragliders and terrorists coming across in jeeps and motorbikes, drones go flying over the border. There are unconfirmed reports that there may have been a cyber attack, which froze up IDF communications around the time of the attack. But horrific, horrific scenes. You had terrorists roaming through Israel for hours before they were intercepted by security personnel, able to not just get across the border, but then take over 100 hostages back across the border. And you were talking about the narrative warfare and all of the good statements that world leaders and influencers have made towards Israel. I think that the reason why you've seen that is because people saw now that Hamas was not attacking military targets, but that they were attacking civilian targets, that they massacred a music festival, killing 260 people in cold blood there, that they kidnapped children and families and elderly, pictures of videos of grandparents and wheelchairs being taken across the border back into Gaza. And people now understand that Hamas is literally just a barbaric terrorist organization on the level of ISIS and Al-Qaeda and any other. However, that said, now that Israel has absorbed this horrific blow and it has decided to take hopefully decisive action to decapitate Hamas completely, the tide is going to turn. The reason why support has been in Israel's favor is because it was very clear on Saturday morning and in the last 48 hours or so that Israel was the victim of a horrific terror attack. However, Israel is now going to switch from victim of a terror attack to a massive military power that is going to be attacking Gaza and has already carried out significant damage inside Israel, laid siege to Gaza. They've turned off the electricity and have pledged that there will not be food or fuel going in there. They have leveled dozens of buildings. It's probably already that the death tolls inside Gaza are almost as high as they are already in Israel, and probably give it another 24 hours and the death tolls in Gaza will be much higher than the than the death tolls in Israel. And I think that you will very quickly see this anti-Israel narrative flip on its head, because, you know, once Israel goes from victim to aggressor, we might face the trend of anti-Israel, anti-Semitic narrative that has been so quickly perpetuated and spread over every social media channel and through every influencer. So we have to see what happens as Israel takes action, but Israel has no choice. And that is the message that Netanyahu made tonight, both to the Israeli public and the international community, is that Israel can no longer kick the can down the road on Hamas. Their true intentions have been seen, and it no longer can Israel accept Hamas as the address that governs the people of Gaza.
I think that last point is very powerful for me personally, which is, are we really going to leave this for our children to keep dealing with it? Like, we're going to get older, and we will allow this no-go zone, this jihadist enclave, this neo-Nazism, this kind of folks that have in their heart to create a concentration camp and kill all the Jews here. You saw that they acted like the Nazis in the beginning with an Einsatzgruppe and what's called the Holocaust by bullets in the beginning. That's all we saw here. And by the way, here's a short video of what the Israeli cars, I think, at the festival look like after Hamas, ISIS-like jeeps passed it. Let's take a look, Alex. So a real scorched earth policy there. You see, dozens, maybe hundreds of cars burnt there. And I want to show you another video, which is very painful. And this is a short video of a young Israeli boy being held hostage and being taunted by Palestinian children as he's being held hostage captive in like being treated like some kind of backyard, you know, animal.
الشباب مبسوطين على اليهودي قول ايما
قول بدون انت يهودي مخرفن ايش عمر ويا
A video, you know, and that's, and again, these are the sanitized videos. That's the real truth. These are the sanitized videos that I've been putting up because I didn't, you know, because this is a public kind of, but the bottom line, Israelis have been seeing the horrible videos. Alex, I have to tell you, right before I went on the show, I saw our friend Jake send me a video of an Israeli girl being doused with gasoline and burnt, one of the hostages. I think I saw her even earlier being one of the people carried away. And it's blood curdling. And on the one hand, it's important to note that the enemy wants to be perceived as that, right? The enemy actually wants to be perceived as inhumane and indomitable on the one hand. But on the other hand, this is a moment for us to realize, cleverly, but like in a negative way. What's the word I'm looking for, Alex? On the one hand, wanting to seem indomitable and evil and sadistic, and on the other hand, playing the game of this is just a war of liberation, and this is what happens when you occupy our land type of thing. It's an amazing psychological play, which works. The liberal folks will buy into the liberal language, and the anti-Semites are like, go, fellow anti-Semites, and you just win the day like that.
Well, I mean, you can win the day by lying through your teeth over and over again. It's like marketing 101. You just keep saying the same thing over and over and over again until people believe that it's true, and they will. But if they think this is about the occupation, you know, don't forget that Israel withdrew completely from the Gaza Strip in 2005. Israel was an occupier, so to speak, of Gaza, with 21 Jewish communities, thriving Jewish communities. And they took out the 8,500 citizens from Gaza and removed all of their military infrastructure. And Gaza was actually the pilot project of what an independent Palestinian state could look like. You know, at first, the Palestinian Authority was ruling the Gaza Strip. You know, I think they lasted maybe a few weeks. Immediately, Hamas overran the Strip and kicked the Palestinian Authority out. They didn't do that calmly or through an election. They did that violently. And the Gazans have been suffering at the hands of Hamas for the last 18 years. And what you see is that when Israel makes land concessions to the Palestinians and to terror entities, what you're going to get is a terror haven. The situation was much safer, not only for Israelis, but also for Palestinians when Israel was inside the Gaza Strip. And if you look at the various distinctions of how Arabs or Palestinians live within the greater Israel, you know, Gaza's the worst. Why? Because the IDF can't patrol the Gaza Strip. You know, inside Judea and Samaria, as most of the world refers to as the West Bank, the IDF moves in and out. And that's the reason why terror entities there have not been able to amass the same type of weaponry as they were in Gaza. Now, they have been accumulating automatic weapons, and that's a big problem, but nothing to the scale like they have inside of Gaza. And as a result, their quality of life is better in Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, than it is in the Gaza Strip. And then inside Israel itself, you have something like a million Arabs with Israeli citizenship, or at least Israeli residency, including 250,000 in Jerusalem itself. And they live a much better life than the ones that live in Judea and Samaria or the West Bank, and certainly much better than in Gaza. So you see that when Israel's the power that controls the area, it creates a better and safer life, not just for Israelis, but also for Palestinians. And so, you know, this whole concept of occupation ruining the lives of the Palestinians, it's quite the opposite. And now you also see how Israel is turning and actually normalizing relations with Arabs all over the Middle East that realize that the Palestinian narrative is a complete and total farce, that the entire world, including the Arab world, has suffered at the hands of this Israeli-Palestinian conflict. They don't want anything to do with it anymore. Right. And why is that? Because they realize that for themselves, what do they want to be? They want to be wealthy. That's their goal. They want to be wealthy and comfortable in their old countries. And they realize that the path to doing that is actually normalizing relations with the Jewish state. And the Palestinians have the most to gain of any peoples from normalizing relations with the Jewish state. So I think because of the Abraham Accords, especially, and because of these grotesque images that you're talking about and showing here on the program, people are seeing that this narrative is a complete and total farce. And we're hearing rumors now or reports that Hamas is going to start executing hostages one by one by one to try to prevent Israel from launching a ground invasion. They've already killed 1,000 people. They've injured over 2,600 more. They've kidnapped kids and elderly. If they start barbarically killing hostages and making videos of that go across social media, what are people around the world going to think? They're going to think that these are horrific animal barbarians, and they're actually going to make the further case for why Israel needs to go in and completely decapitate and annihilate Hamas as an entity, and put its military back where it belongs inside the Gaza Strip.
Alex, we only have a few more minutes. I just wanted to ask you about another player here, which is Iran. How much is Iran behind this? And how much is this also having to do with the steps towards rapprochement between Israel and Saudi Arabia, the furtherance of what you were talking about, the Abraham Accords? How much of this all was planned by Iran? And will Iran be held accountable by the United States and by the international community And furthermore, about the United States, what is this business of the aircraft carrier coming this way, or aircraft carrier group? Tell me a little bit about that. So let's scope out, let's zoom out a little bit and talk about the big boys. So much of this, by the way, parenthetically, reminds me of Yom Kippur. So much. It's unbelievable. An Israeli intelligence failure, a horrific war, and also a play between the powers, between the United States and the Soviet Union at the time. Here we have, we have all kinds of players, Russia, China, backers of Iran, the United States. Where are they on this issue? Can't say they're exactly clearly on one side. So how do you put the big pieces together here? We've zoomed in and seen this horrible conflict, but it's part of something bigger. How do you see it?
Well, Iran is certainly the head of the snake when it comes to all the terrorist entities around the entire Middle East, and particularly creating this ring of fire, so to speak, around Israel, which includes Hamas in Gaza and Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. Also, IRGC is Revolutionary Guards Corps in South Lebanon, South Syria, rather. And they've been moving weapons across from Syria into Lebanon, into Gaza, into Judea and Samaria, for that matter. So, when Israel's fighting against Hamas, or if Israel gets into a war with Hezbollah, which is a highly likely scenario, I'm not sure that Israel wants to be doing that right now, but a multi-front scenario is highly likely. They're fighting against Iranian proxies. And so the question is, do you first cut off the head of the snake? Do you go straight into Iran and prevent them from becoming a nuclear power by attacking all of their nuclear infrastructure, something that Netanyahu has been screaming from the rafters about for the last 15 to 25 years? Although, they've taken various covert attacks and killed nuclear scientists and raided the nuclear archives and potentially, messed with the nuclear reactors with the Stuxnet virus and other things over the years. But still, Iran is now on the threshold of becoming a full-fledged nuclear force in the world. So do you cut off the head of the snake first, or do you deal with the tentacles first? And it looks like the choice is to decapitate the tentacle, which is Hamas, and we may have to deal with Hezbollah too. You also talked about this new and disturbing relationship between Russia and Iran. For many, the last several years, the two players inside of Syria were Russia and Iran, and each was, basically holding each other at bay, working in opposite interests, and Israel had the freedom of movement there to stop Iranian weapons transfers inside of Syria. But since the launch of the Ukraine offensive by Russia, we've seen Iran align itself with Russia, providing weapons and drones and other things to Russia. And at the same time, you've seen Israel sort of siding with the Ukrainians, perhaps at the behest of the United States, which has angered Russia. Vladimir Putin wasn't necessarily an anti-Semite. The word czar and pogrom used to be synonyms, but under Putin, you had a pretty strong relationship between Russia and Israel and a level of respect between Putin and Netanyahu. But certainly in the last period, Russia's made its alliance with Iran very clear, and that's very disturbing. And all of this was permitted by the vacuum which was created by America leaving the Middle East as a power, and not only that, but by actually funding Iran. And this is the Obama-Biden strategy of trying to pretend that Iran is not the greatest sponsor of terror around the world and is not racing toward an illicit nuclear program, but is just one of the other normal countries in the community of nations. And even just in the last several weeks, transferring $6 billion to Iran in exchange for 5 American hostages. Well, guess what? They just transferred $6 billion for 5 American hostages. And now instead, their terror entity has over 100 Israeli hostages because Iran continues to give money to Hamas, continues to give money to Hezbollah.
And understands that it has a green light from America.
Absolutely. But there is a feeling perhaps that America understands its mistake, finally, perhaps. I mean, the actions will speak louder than words at this point, but I think that the moving of the aircraft carrier over to the area, not that it was necessarily so far away to begin with, you know, it's not that America doesn't have facilities here, but it is a signal that that America understands that Iran has made them look very, very bad right now. And we just have to see, you know, how much resolve Israel is going to have to do what needs to be done in Gaza to make sure that something like this is never, ever again possible. We have to see whether Hezbollah decides to enter the war, and if Israel is going to be fighting on multi fronts at the same time. If Hezbollah gets involved, that's a much scarier proposition than fighting Hamas, because of the large cachet of over 150,000 rockets and missiles that they have in southern Lebanon pointed at Israeli population centers. And these are not the Qassam rockets that Hamas has in Gaza. Many of these are long range. They can deliver massive payloads. Many are precision guided, and yet maybe
the other way to see it is this is the opportunity to deal with those rockets that have for so long threatened us. Here's the opportunity to take them out. Here's the opportunity to face them and to deal with it and to destroy this organization as well, because they're just, you know, if we're going to keep living like this, we're just going to be living literally under the gun.
I mean, there's been a feeling here among many in the security apparatus and among Israeli citizens understanding that there was going to be another regional war at some point on multi-fronts. And it could very well be that that this terror attack, which I'm not even sure that Hamas thought was going to be half as successful as it was, is now the trigger and the impetus for Israel to do it. And if Israel feels like they have even a small window or a hint of international support to do it, then this might be the moment that is basically been kicked down the road for so long. And perhaps there's no time to kick it down the road any further.
David Zucker says, my good friend David Zucker says, my fear is that this could be the opening salvo of a much larger war that Iran and Hezbollah have planned. Wear us down before the real attack starts. That is what he's asking about. Other people are writing, feeling demoralized that Israeli government hasn't stated clearly that its mission is to completely eliminate Hamas and to return to Gaza. What else is out here? And then there's questions. How was the fence breached? And why did the IDF stand down for so many hours? So there's a lot of questions, and I don't think we can deal with all of them today, Alex. But there are still questions, and the conflict rages on. Tonight is the, we had Sunday night, we had Monday night. So tonight is the third night of this conflict, this war, the situation. And there's a tension in the air. There's a lot of prayer. There's a lot of consternation. There's a lot of pain that is felt palpably throughout Israel because of the dead and the hostages, which is in some ways even worse. And there's a rage that is raging in this country, because we want to punish on the one hand and also make sure that it doesn't happen again. Last thoughts from you, Alex.
I think you said it. I think that the Israeli public is quite incensed that this was able to happen to begin with. Intelligence breaches, security breaches like this are not supposed to be possible. And it just shows you, though, the types of people that we're living with in the neighborhood. And if we don't establish ourselves, if Israel doesn't establish itself as the strongest player, then we're going to continue to face these types of attacks. And you also talked about this being an episode to try to prevent the normalization with other countries that want to normalize with Israel, including Saudi Arabia. And I think that if Israel doesn't act resolutely to cut off the tentacles of Iran and to demonstrate itself as a strong power in the region with all these forces, like you mentioned, the Americans and the Russians and the Chinese and everyone else, if Israel doesn't establish itself as the strongest player, then what's the purpose for these other nations to normalize with Israel? The reason why they have been drawn to Israel to begin with is because Israel is the only country that can possibly provide some protection in the region, specifically against Iran and its proxy. So it's go time, and they need to prove it on a lot of different levels.
Alex Sherman, thank you very much for your analysis. You're at JNS.org. You're the Jerusalem Bureau Chief there, and JNS.org continues to provide me and everybody I know with excellent update news and analysis, JNS.org. Thank you very much, Alex.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, folks. So we are – hey, there you're back. All right, there you are, and you're gone. Okay. Alex, thank you very much for being with us. And thank you very much to my producer, Leah Fleischer, who is doing a great job today helping me out with this live stream. There are many more issues to cover. There are many more questions. But we will be back on this channel, on these channels, because I'm also on Twitter and on YouTube, to try to answer the questions and to give strength. This is a biased show, biased pro-Israel, pro-God, pro the Jewish people, pro the Torah. We don't deny that for one second. We're not trying to be fair and balanced. We're trying to be a light onto the nations and promote the idea of the centrality and the strength of Israel to the Jewish world and to the world as well. Israel has been struck, and there's an element here of God's punishment, and there's an element here of Israeli hubris, and there's an element here of success of the jihad and the Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran, but we will push them back. And indeed, this is a moment of awakening. And in that sense, this horror is also a gift. And somehow we're going to have to eke out the gift from this horrific attack. And we're going to have to open up our eyes, see what we're dealing with, and deal with it on a worldly plane, and thereby usher in a better time for this region, as Alex said so correctly, that basically the other Arab states are looking at this in shock and horror. Like, is this where we want to go? And so basically it is either jihadism and Iran and Palestine or Israel and the Abraham Accords and a light for the world. And Israel's made its choice. We're going to survive. I'm Israel Chai. The eternity of Israel will not lie, will not fail. And you are a part of it wherever you are. I wrote earlier a few ways that you can help be part of it. And I'm just reminding you that there are definitely ways to be part of it right now in making this war, being a warrior within this war. One is HebronFund.org, strengthening the Jewish community of Hebron, YishaiFleischer.com, and all that I'm doing here in Judea and Samaria, in broadcasting, and the folks at UnityWarriors.com getting defensive tools in the hands of citizen defenders. These and others are doing a lot to defend Israel this time. You've got to be part of it. Stay tuned, stay strong, stay connected wherever you are. Thank you very much again to my producer, Leah Fleischer. Thank you to all of you. Thank you for all your wonderful comments, your amazing comments that are out there. I wasn't able to get to all of them, but there are a tremendous amount of comments. I'm just looking at them right now. And I am so thankful to you that you are with me. Ola Bode Paul says, God will take control. And Giram Ashilau just gives two muscles and thanks remarks. But Muhammad Thanis writes F Israel and writes what do you call them, emojis and the flag of Israel. Well, guess what, man? You ain't going to win. Israel's going to survive. And I'm only putting you on the show in order to show you how small you are and how weak you are and how you will never defeat us. You hurt us. You hurt us bad. But you will not defeat us. You will not defeat us because I'm Israel Chai, because the vision of the Jewish people returning to the land of Israel is the greatest revelation of godliness in this world. Palepa Tefau Sotoili says, pray from Sydney, Australia. Amen. And good folks from all over the world are saying shalom. And Agel writes, stand with Israel. And Yaakov says, you're the best, Yishai. Well, I have the best job because I'm part of what God wants, which is to move his story, his dream forward of the Jewish people's return to the land of Israel. God bless you guys. Stay tuned, stay strong, stay connected wherever you are. Lots of love and lots of blessing for strength. from the good land, from the eternal land, from the eternal city, Jerusalem, from the city of the forefathers and mothers, Hebron, from the land of Judea, Samaria, the Golan Heights and the coastal plain and the Dead Sea, and Eilat and Metula in the north and the Hermon Mountains. The unity of the land of Israel is one. The Jewish people are one, and they are a light unto the nations, and will get through this time of darkness. God bless you. Lots of love and shalom.